following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. This morning, we are going to finish up our series on Lent as we step into the beginning of Holy Week. Today, as you can tell by the wonderful palm branches on our stage here, is Palm Sunday. And it is the Sunday where we remember and we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it is, in many respects, sort of an odd start to what ends as a very dark week in Good Friday. For me, the season of Lent has been one where I have tried a new practice, or a new-to-Lent-for-me practice, in reading a collection of poetry. And that's gone pretty well. I've been on track most days to read that and read the reflection on it. I enjoyed it quite a bit throughout, and I felt myself drawn closer to Christ day by day as I read that. I also, though, had grand hopes of working day by day on building something. And I'm not going to tell you what it was, because, well, it did not come to fruition. I had made a schedule, I had designs, rudimentary as they were, drawn up on my computer, and I was pretty excited about this prospect. But I definitely fell short in that particular practice. I'll admit that it's pretty humbling. It's disappointing for me. But you know, at one point this past week, I found some real freedom in saying to Erica, when she asked me how that was going, you know what, it's just not going to happen. And I felt freedom in that because I knew that my relationship with Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, was not reliant on my performance in that particular following through in that particular practice. But my relationship with Christ is about me focusing on Him and learning to focus anew on Him in this Lenten season. So I hope that if you had grand hopes of starting or continuing or following through on some practice this Lenten season, and it just didn't happen, that you know that that's okay. That's okay, because the important part is Christ, is focusing on Christ. So whether you succeeded greatly in some new practice or whether you have fallen short, I hope that you have been drawn closer to Christ in this Lenten season, that you have allowed yourself to really focus on Him, to see Him more clearly, and to embrace the truth that He loves you unconditionally. And I hope that you have learned, whether it was for the first time or the 50th time, a bit more about who Jesus is. And so this morning, I really want us together as a church family to make our way towards the cross on Friday and then celebrating the resurrection on Sunday, I want us to spend some time this morning remembering what it is that we have learned about Jesus in this Lenten season. But before we take a look back at that, let me pray for us. Holy God, we praise you for the privilege of knowing the long story of promise and fulfillment of your salvation plan. For the journey with its places of startling vision and tough wilderness, we are encouraged that you have watched our travel as one both holding and guiding. Give us this morning both a view of your glory and a reminder of our place in your long story. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. When we began Lent a number of weeks ago, we looked first at the ways that Jesus was tempted in the desert by the devil. Jesus was tempted with providing himself food, turning stones into bread, a tempting proposition for sure after 40 days without food. And then Jesus was tempted with an incredible act of power that would marvel anyone and everyone who witnessed it, making it absolutely sure that people would be in awe of Jesus, that they would follow him even just for the show. What a show that would be. It would make finding followers quite a bit easier. And finally, Jesus was tempted with success and with power. Jesus was tempted with having the whole world bow down to him, to worship him, as he took the world by force, just like people wanted him to do. In all of these temptations, Jesus makes it pretty clear to the devil and to us that they are really about two things. They are really about the first two commandments. You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol. Jesus resists these temptations, and in that gives us the perfect example of the way we need to posture ourselves to resist the very same temptations. We need to be oriented towards God in everything, in all areas of our life, to put God first above everything. Everything else, to allow nothing to become an idol in our lives. God needs to be first. In the second week of Lent, we read about the need for new birth in Jesus Christ. That means giving up our past, giving up what we think we know about ourselves, giving up the things that we have let in the past define us. Even the things that we may find comfort in, all for something far, far greater, a relationship with Jesus Christ, the living God himself. As Jesus talks to Nicodemus, we see that Jesus is the path, that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the answer, the only answer. What Jesus teaches Nicodemus is that it is worthless to spend time and effort with our heads buried in laws, in maps, that we think will lead us towards God, because the only one who truly points us towards right relationship with God is Jesus himself. The only one who can possibly get us into right relationship with the creator of the universe is Jesus Christ. And Jesus teaches Nicodemus that he is the way, the only way. And Nicodemus needs to completely change everything he knows about the world and be born again into the knowledge and the truth of who Christ is. In our third week, Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. And we find Jesus making an incredible statement by speaking with the woman, an act that by all appearances, by all reason of the day would just be ridiculous. And then explaining to her that the place that she had looked for life, the places she had tried to find life in the past, would never be the true source of life. Jesus announces to her that he is the only source of life, the only source of living water, water that would never leave her thirsty. Jesus asked her, and Jesus asks us, where is it that we are looking for life? Are we looking for life in water, in food, in books, in movies, TV shows, relationships, travel, exercise? Are we trying to find life in places that ultimately will not fulfill? Jesus makes it very clear that none of those things will satisfy. Only Jesus offers real, abundant life. Our fourth week introduced us to the man born blind. And in healing his blindness, Jesus stirs things up quite a bit, especially with the Pharisees. Jesus introduces himself as the only one who could offer sight. And so his challenge to the Pharisees is that they are blind because they believe they can see. Jesus is saying that anyone who believes that they have God figured out, anyone who believes that they can put all things into a nice, neat, tidy package so that God will look favorably on them is indeed blind. Anyone who believes they can boil down God to a list of rules or guidelines or traditions is missing the point. Jesus has come to make those who are blind aware of their blindness. And in that blindness, in knowing that without focusing on Christ, Jesus offers sight. Jesus invites those who see or those who believe they see to recognize their own blindness, their own sinfulness. And then only in that recognition they will be made to see. To see Jesus as Jesus would have them see. And last week, I was particularly struck by the incredible way in which we were introduced to Jesus as both fully human and fully divine. The tiny verse, the trivia of the shortest verse in the Bible, had a profound impact on me last week especially, and continues to. Jesus wept. Jesus wept for his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept because his friends Mary and Martha were sad, were hurting, were in pain. It's a moment that allows me, that allows us to identify with my Savior, with our Savior. To know that our Savior knows my tears, feels my tears, shares my tears. We see Jesus in that moment as fully human. And then just verses later, Jesus performs a miracle that exemplifies his divinity. Jesus calls into the tomb and tells Lazarus to come out. Lazarus, who has been dead for days, Jesus calls him out of his tomb. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life as only God can. Jesus is fully divine. I love this story. I love the way that we get to see both sides of who Jesus is right there next to each other. I feel like I get to know Jesus in this moment. And so after 5 weeks of learning about and meeting Jesus, this morning we get to be a part of the crowd shouting Hosanna, ushering our Lord into Jerusalem. And so that's where I want to take a look at our scripture readings for this morning. The first is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 19 to 29. So I'd invite you to turn there now. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand, and Dave would be more than happy to bring you on. Well, Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then we're going to move to Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Over the course of this week, and I think especially remembering and leading up to our celebration of our 30th anniversary last night, and also because I'm reading a history of Israel right now, I've kind of found myself in the place that I know that countless other pastors have been in, asking myself the question, how do I say something new about Palm Sunday? What new thing can I say to bring great insight into this brief but incredibly important account of Jesus entering Jerusalem? This church has heard this same story for 30 years. This same story has been preached on Palm Sunday for nearly 2,000 years. It doesn't change. It is the same year after year after year. And so for a fair chunk of this week, this was quite a dilemma for me. And then I read great encouragement in one of the articles that I came across. The story is the same. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry is the same, year after year after year. For nearly 2,000 years, this story has been true. This story is true. The truth of who Jesus is has not changed, does not change. And that's why we remember this story every single year and what is so powerful about it. And so for me, what that means today is a great opportunity to really take in the power of these two texts, this psalm and this reading from Matthew, to hear the words of Scripture that are read the Sunday before Easter all around the globe and have been read the Sunday before Easter for centuries. For the past 5 weeks, we have been looking at who Jesus is. We know him. We know that he knows us, that he loves us. And so these stories are familiar to many of us because they do not change. And there is great hope, and there is great power in that. The truth that we find in Scripture does not change. The truth that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, the Son of God, one of three persons of the Trinity, does not change year to year. There's no need to change that text. There's no innovation that comes in that. There's the simple truth that that is who Jesus is year after year. And so at this point, after hearing who Jesus is, for these years, for these weeks, we're invited to make a simple decision. Questions that Jesus has asked throughout our readings over the last few weeks. Just like he asked Mary, "Do you believe?" Do you believe that this is who Jesus is? Do you believe that he performs miracles? Do you believe that Jesus wept for his friends? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to right relationship with God? Do you believe that Jesus is the only one through whom we will truly see? Do you believe that Jesus is the only source for living water, for real, abundant life? Do you believe? And if so, then today we get to joyfully join the shouts of the crowd that ushers Jesus into Jerusalem. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna. Lord Jesus, when you rode into Jerusalem, the people waved palms with shouts of acclamation. Grant, O God, that when the shouting dies, we may still walk beside you, even to the cross. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.